I came across something this past week that it fascinated me, and maybe some of you have had some fascination as I did in my younger years with the space program. And what it is a man who witnessed the launch of Apollo 17 in 1975. I think that was the last of the Apollo series, the actual trips to the moon, and they were done aboard the Saturn V rockets. I did see a Saturn V rocket, maybe some of you have too. They're huge, they're 35 stories in height. But listen to this observation. His name was Jacob Needleman. He remembers, "I was an observer at the launch of Apollo 17 in 1975. It was a night launch. There were hundreds of cynical reporters all over the lawn, drinking beer, wisecracking, and waiting for this 35-story high rocket. The countdown came, and then the launch. The first thing you see is the extraordinary orange light, which is just at the limit of what you can bear to look at. Everything is illuminated with this light. Then comes this thing slowly rising up in total silence, because it takes a few seconds for the sound to come across. Then you hear a whoosh and a rumble, and the sound and energy enters right into you. You can still practically hear the jaws dropping. The sense of wonder fills everyone in the whole place, including the cynics. And this thing goes up and up. The first stage has ignited, and there's a beautiful blue flame. It becomes like a star, but then you realize there are humans on board, and then there's total silence. Apollo 17. He's a witness to the awesome power of the Saturn V rocket in its launch. What would it have been like to witness the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? We have a few words to describe it. We just read Matthew's text. Perhaps the best known of the stories is from the Gospel of John, who provides more detail than virtually any of the other writers at the time. What would have been like to see and to feel the power of that earthquake and the light, the dazzling light of the angel, as the power of the resurrection of Christ takes hold? If it were to be a public event, can you imagine the spectacle it would produce today with the media? People showed up to see Jesus just days before at a dinner given in honor of him and Lazarus. And they came to see Lazarus as well, who had been raised from the dead. The resurrection is central to Christian theology. The Apostle Paul said, "If Christ is not raised, then your faith is in vain, and your sins are not forgiven." It is the center of our teaching. Imagine the power of the presence of the living God raising Jesus the Christ back to life. I've never been in an earthquake. Let me just see a show of hands. Have we anyone here that's witnessed an earthquake? Anyone? Couple of hands. Well, Japan, I can only imagine. I'd like to visit with you about that. My sister-in-law is a native Eskimo living in Alaska her whole life, and she was a young lady about 13 or 14 years old at the time of the earthquake on Good Friday, 1964. Some of you remember that. An incredible tidal wave swept in and out, and her uncle was out fishing that day, swept out to sea and never seen or heard from again. The immense power of that earthquake. I think witnessing the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ would do to us the same thing that it did for those women that observed, the same thing it did for those guards who were put in front of the tomb. They were struck with fear. And just as this man witnesses the launch of the Saturn V rocket, the cynical reporters are suddenly standing with mouths wide open at the awesome power of that rocket. I have a feeling that any of us here witnessing the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, or any resurrection for that matter, might be paralyzed by fear. Matthew tells us that the angels delivered the message. He is not here, he has risen. And how long would it take for that message to actually soak in? And they do so with a little reminder, if you will, just a gentle reminder, just as he said he would. On at least three occasions in the gospel, Jesus said the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of sinners, suffer, be put to death, and on the third day, rise again. They'd heard it, they knew it, and suddenly it happened. And they're struck with fear. Suddenly we read, two suddenlies in our text this morning, Jesus met them. And what did they do? Three things. They came to him, they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. When was the last time you were so struck with awe by anything that you were knocked down to the ground and you worshiped? Probably never. We've all seen some awesome things in our day. We witnessed some things. Maybe some of you have seen a space launch. I'd like to. I don't have a bucket list, but if I did, that would probably be on it. Except I don't think they're launching a whole lot these days. But we've seen some awesome displays of power. We've seen awesome displays of beauty, even in nature, some of the things. I listened to the birds and their carols this morning. It was great. It wasn't awesome. I didn't fall down. I didn't worship. But when they saw Jesus, something internally, something intrinsically brought them to the ground to grab at his feet and to worship him. The awesome power of the presence of the risen Christ. It's a powerful, powerful scene that's described in these few words in the Gospels, more so than any rocket launch or even earthquake. Christ was dead and is alive again. And his resurrection alone, more than anything else in all of life, is the basis for our hope. Some of you know that. You know that personally. Some of you are finding that out, discovering that. Some of you maybe haven't given it a lot of thought, but maybe someday you will. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the significance of this day, is central to anyone who has ever received news of a terminal illness, either yourself or a loved one. It's a central message of hope to anyone who's ever marched into raging combat or extreme danger to life and limb of any kind. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the central hope to anyone who's ever looked upon a loved one in a casket. It alone gives hope and a perspective for the future of life beyond the world as we know it. The four Gospels all provide distinctive details of the day, but they all say essentially the same thing. Christ is victorious over death. He is our hope, our only hope of salvation. What do we do with this message? Where do we go with this? Tomorrow, you know, and I know that Monday will be business as usual. In fact, I'm kind of sad. I visit with people around the community, and I ran into one of our congregation members last night in the parking lot who was telling me about different businesses that are open today. Today. I mean, I understand you got to make a quick trip to Mayo and you need a gas in your tank, you know, some of these things, but it's another day for so many in our society. So what do we do with this message? Martin Luther had some rather succinct advice how to live our lives. This is what Luther said. We should live as though Christ were crucified yesterday. We should live as though Christ were risen today. and we should live as though Christ were coming tomorrow. Pretty good advice. Pretty solid thing to base your life and your hope on. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, my life is worth the living just because he lives. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. To God be the glory. Amen.